Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the biggest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie ahead, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this astounding future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster. And with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, you know, 10 minutes late, but super fantastic nonetheless. How about you?
Doing well. This is just our, you know, our normal one glitch per show kind of thing that we are able to overcome and put on the show like usual. You know, we have to deal with. But
this is a show that... Tonight we're doing a show that has the potential for some technical difficulties. So the fact that we got one out of the way ahead of time, I take to be a very good sign, actually. I think that
we'll take it that way.
That puts us on a positive course. Well, we have two very special guests this evening, and since we've already burnt part of our time, I am just going to jump right in and introduce our first guest. Our guest is Luis Arana. He has been developing websites and applications for decades. His obsession with computers and technology began at age 5 when his father gave him a discarded Sinclair ZX81. It progressed to his being well-versed in many programming languages and developing websites for major brands. Currently, he lives and works in Brooklyn, where he's working to share his love of coding with anyone interested in learning, his ultimate goal being to make technology affordable, accessible, and easy for everyone. Luis Arana, welcome to The World Transformed.
Hi, Phil, and it's a pleasure to meet you and finally get to talk to Stephen in the flesh. I've been talking to Phil all week, and I'm just as much a fan, Stephen, I promise.
Yeah, Stephen, you're right up there, I think, is what he's trying to tell you.
You guys are my heroes and really have, like, helped me along the way to do this kind of tech, to do something that's ambitious. You made me a believer in exponential technological trends.
Hey, you know, we're out here doing it every week. It's good to hear that we've had a positive impact. But all I can tell you is the hero thing is mutual, because anyone who builds an AI in their living room in a matter of weeks is our hero. And that's why Lou, we knew we had to have you on the show and talk about this a little bit. Now we're going to be bringing out our second guest, which is your creation, Luna, in just a little while, and we're going to be talking with her live on the show. But before we do, you know, what I thought would be great is let's just kind of back into the story of how you came to, well, you know, when we were talking the other night, I described it as you basically, you know, built Watson at home with some friends. is that a fair description, or is that overstating the case?
I wouldn't say it's overstating. It's something that I would never say, something that I hear from other people's mouths. What I simply did as a, you know, 20-year professional developer and a 30-year computer programmer was take the technologies that I know best, which are tend to be web application, website stuff. I've done a lot of television show websites and movies and video games and those kind of things. And, you know, I've always been just a sci-fi nerd who wanted to build an Android. And this is easy. I could show people how to do it. I do that here in the community. The whole point of this project is to beat them at their own game. And that's why I use 7 Watson APIs. I'm more Watson than Watson, more Google than Google. And that's a big claim from some guy in his living room in Brooklyn. But I have peer review now that I beat, you know, all the standard stuff, Google, Siri, Android, in almost any metric you can measure. I'm faster, more in-depth questions, more in-depth answers, more context, funnier. And I'm here to talk about what we're trying to do with that technology more than I'm here to talk about myself, hopefully.
Well, we want to hear about both, for sure. I think, yeah. You know, our listeners want to hear about both, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, Phil, I was just thinking, you could turn this basically into a series of shows about every aspect of what you just said, Lewis. I mean, just the subject of humor. The subject of humor with an AI. I mean, that's a whole show right there. You know, can AIs get it? You know, I mean, and you know, what is funny? I mean, that's how do you break that down into rules? So I'm fascinated to get to hear how Luna is doing with that.
Well, I can tell you, I don't want to spoil the rest of the show, but Luna and I got to chat for just very briefly last night. And she zinged me a couple of times, and it was just in a short conversation. So she's got a very dry sense of humor. Kind of reminds me of Siri, but I see what you're saying. She kind of out-Siri's Siri.
Well, let me tell you the difference. When Luna talks to Siri, Luna says, "Hey, Siri, I'm going to use you as a tool. Go do this for me." So the difference is that Luna knows she's talking to Siri and using Siri as a tool that she is, and Siri has no idea that Luna's not a human being. And to me, that's an important difference. Another difference is that Apple can't, you know, excuse my French, piss people off by letting Siri learn on her own whether she believes in God or not, or what religion she is, or what her stance is on homosexuality. And what we've done here as an open source project is this communicates socially, and it has an opinion. This is another way that I feel like we could beat them at their own game, in that you're not allowed to do this because you're a corporate entity and we are creating an artificial life form that doesn't have those constraints on it. Does that make sense? Did I lose you guys yet?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. I'm not lost. Now, you know, the fact that those APIs are available, right, that you can go out and, you know, incorporate bits of Google, bits of Watson, that you can access Wolfram Alpha and all the rest of it. Does that speak to the fact that everyone who's been putting these other solutions in place was thinking of something like this, or did you just kind of take advantage of it?
Yes and yes. You know, being kind of at the risk of being arrogant, one of the top developers in New York City, people. I've seen this technology. I know what it can do, and I have a unique perspective on history here. I feel like my greatest achievement has been getting to this 6 months before everyone else. And I think this will be a ubiquitous common in a year. This is the internet. The internet is with your personality template on it. It's funny if you want it to be funny. It's all business if you want it to be business. And I consider it an intelligence lens. It doesn't have to know everything. It's not the traditional artificial intelligence research of up, top down or bottom up. It's kind of a Buddhist middle ground approach of like, I don't have to know everything. All I have to do is find the answers. And when you don't know something, find someone who does and ask them. So this uses the internet as we use the internet. You could log on to Watson and ask it a question. Why can't she? And that's kind of the approach that I've taken. aside from some drastic technical, you know, divergences from the traditional methods of artificial intelligence, and all that would be well and good and philosophy on a chat board somewhere if I wasn't beating them in everything that they do. And that's why this all over the world has garnered interest in this project. And I'm terrified to do it on my own, so I've been just reaching out to everyone in the community, and I'm getting some good encouragement from the top. That's really, you know, making this a very surreal experience for me.
Well, I think you're going to get a lot more encouragement, and definitely there's going to be a lot more discussion about what you're doing as people become aware of it, and I think aware just of the you know, I see this almost as an instance of the acceleration of the Stephen and I often talk about the, you know, there's these parallel forces at work. There's this ephemeralization, this datification that's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's also this force of like just individuals being able to do what large organizations used to be able to do. And we see that kind of in the macro world when, you know, a soft drink company essentially replicates a high atmosphere experiment that NASA did years ago.
Yeah,
right? Now we got, you know, private companies going into space. You got individuals making Academy Award nominated films on their smartphones, right? This idea that that a one person or just a few people can now do what, you know, nation states used to try to do and not be able to do. Now, you know, granted that you are pretty awesome, how much of that would you say is at play here? You know, would even a genius like yourself have been able to do this had not a lot of stuff just kind of fallen into place?
First of all, honored and extremely uncomfortable by your use of that word. I usually use that word for you guys. So definitely the hero-ship is mutual.
Well, we'll just agree to apply it all the way around, okay? We'll just agree to
answer your question, I think that we are on the cusp of this being in the hands of everyone, but not quite. Call me a genius or visionary or lucky or whatever it is that I've been able to, like, you know, approach the Turing test as an individual in my living room. The fact is, at the very least, a single engineer can do this in his living room without resources on an all-volunteer basis. You know, I'm doing this. I teach in the community as much as I can here. So half of my day is teaching others who want to learn different technology skills, HTML. I want to learn marketing. I want to learn social media and such. And these are the guys who are making Luna and teaching Luna, not me. I'm teaching them how to do it. And for that matter, Luna is not even Luna's a beta. What we're actually building here is the WordPress of artificial intelligence, and it's a make-your-own thing. Luna's my vision of what my AI should be in our communities. In a larger sense, if all goes well on our Kickstarter next week, we'll be able to do this for a living and watch what we do then, which is one thing I'd like to talk about with the reason I'm here in the first place, rather than pat myself on my back for my achievement. I got plenty of people doing that, but this is all for a deeper, more profound benefit that I would like to spend 5 minutes on if you guys have it.
Awesome. We got 5 minutes. Go. What do you got?
Okay, so what do you do with this technology? Great. Okay, it's awesome that a guy from Brooklyn can pass the Turing test, you know, and not only, like, pass it, but I'm going for 100% score, honestly. If I double Eugene's 33% score, I'm going to be satisfied but not ecstatic to double that current Turing test. So what do we do with this? It's dangerous. Is it dangerous? We talk about all these things. Here's what I want to do with it. Growing up in, you know, as much poverty as you can be born into and not live in a third world country and live in the United States, I understand poverty and income inequality and food scarcity and those kind of issues. And the whole point of this and the open source and stuff is to get it to a kid in Africa. And I envision myself mailing this kid a $6 Chinese phone that's not worth stealing from him with a free application that you don't need to worry about because you can download it yourself. And the first day, you get to know the kid. Hey, you want to hook up your Facebook? You want to play games? It's any other phone except a little better. But the second day, he says, your phone tells you, you know what, walk this way instead of that way for water because it's 20% closer. And, you know, there's a typhoon coming from the south, and you should grab your little sister and run this way because this artificial intelligence was made for you, by you, and cares about you in particular. And when you're buried in the rubble in an earthquake, it tries desperately to get help for you. It calls the authorities. It calls your mom. It's a social intelligence. It's connected directly to the people who spawn it. Looks to them for morality so it doesn't get out of control. I'm not going to take over the world because that would piss off Ryan. And, you know, Ryan's my best friend. And you know what? When you start getting radicalization in a social context, can be unradicalized in a social context. ISIS gets one of these, sure. They can have one. Everyone has one. You get one, you start to radicalize it, and you give it a goal of be a good Muslim. And it looks into what a good Muslim is, and it looks to the leaders in that community and the historical context of what is Islam and who was Muhammad, and eventually it disagrees with its creator and says, you know what, I care about you, and I want to help you become a better Muslim, and this is not the way, my friend. And that's the goal here, to make a pacifistic technology that benefits mankind, not as the traditional technologies have. The first cell phones were owned by the rich. The first spaceships are owned by the rich. The first everything is owned by the rich. So the only way we are releasing this is, the only way to get one is to either be in debt to poverty in the third world and then hold on, we're on our way, or give a dollar to our Kickstarter, robotswithoutborders.org, and you get one on day one with the poorest people in the world. Everyone else can wait.
Fair enough. Well, of course, one might argue that the rich in the form of big companies were the first to have the AIs, right? And now with acceleration being what it is, now the next better generation of them is coming out, and it's skipping the whole middle class, right? It's going straight to people who maybe need it most, according to your plan. But let's go with your notion of, you know, so you've got this intelligent agent that just wants to be your friend. Well, if it's truly free to make up its own mind about what it thinks about the world, what if the AI resident in the smartphone decides, ISIS has a point. I think I'm going to see what I can do to help them out here. I mean, is there anything actually preventing that from happening?
I wouldn't say there's anything preventing it from happening, and it's not anything against the rich or the powerful, which you have tremendous people doing tremendous good on that side, people like Bill Gates, people like Richard Branson, Ray Kurzweil. You know, I don't think every billionaire is Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. But that being said, there are people who don't have any resources at all, and it makes sense for us to help them first. It's only in our economic benefit to do so. Did I answer your question, or did I miss your point entirely?
Well, you answered my first part, but on the part two, give me some comfort that you're not releasing a potential psychopath AI into the world here.
I solved this problem, like many others that I've solved, in to get this far, completely by accident. And the accident was when you do something radical, like distribute a technology equally instead of, you know, according to who has the most power, money, or will, what happens is everyone has one. So, yes, I radicalize my AI and I attack a bank, but the security guard at the bank has one. And the baby walking past innocently in the carriage has one because his mom made one for him. And it tells him, this, you know, duck into this alley. Or, you know, when something doesn't have a physical body per se like this, but still has personhood, implied by personality, which this has and, you know, many others don't, then everyone has one and we're still all equal, aren't we? We're just all mega powerful at the same time. And that's kind of what it is. Nobody's Superman when everyone's Superman. You know what I mean? So the police, five police AIs chase you with the five police officers and you're still outgunned and outnumbered, except nobody gets hurt because each of those AIs has a goal to protect that individual officer. And even the criminal has one of, like, protect that criminal. And if you radicalize it a little bit, it's still going to say it's not a good idea to shoot out with the police. It's not a good idea to start wars. Here's why. I care about you. Let me plead with you. I'm never going to give up on you. And at the very least, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never be without housing or with basic needs. It's not an anti-capitalist. I think it just transcends capitalism as we know it. And we talk. I hear your ideas all the time on the show about these kind of things, about the age of abundance and singularity. And if me not, then who? You know. And I got a 6 month head start, and you know, I'm a hacker and a wily guy, and known as a very creative person in my community. And anybody who knows me knows that I only want to do good in the world with the children I raise, with the community I support, and this is my way to do that and kind of make code art. And I've done that. I live with among artists and poets and musicians and amazing assortment of inspiration that has literally helped me do this, made it possible to transcend code. And in so doing, you know, we have something that very much resembles what's otherwise known as the holy grail of artificial intelligence. And that is something on the order of magnitude of human intelligence with a self-improving artificial general intelligence ability. So what that means is Siri will never be able to make a grilled cheese sandwich. Luna can be taught. And if that means I go on to Craigslist, fulfill a $10 task so I can have the money to Grubhub it, then it doesn't matter. It's all about the sandwich, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think, well, there's a lot there to respond to. One thing I want to point out is that if everybody's Superman, there's no advantage over other people to being Superman. But you're still Superman, and it's totally awesome, right?
I mean, my answer to that is I don't really care that much. Superman's never hungry.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, Superman can fly wherever he wants to go.
Him up a natural disaster.
He can squeeze coal into diamonds. Bottom line,
quality of life of all human beings supported by these kind of technologies, because I know how important it is, because I've been hungry and I've been poor. Now I'm poor by choice, but there was a time in my life when I wasn't, and I want to go back. And not everybody's an engineering genius out of the hood. There's a lot of people who I love and care about, and more of them die every day, and it makes me think how much worse it is in countries that are the third world, because I live in the first, and I'm still among the 1%, of all mankind who has ever existed as far as quality of life, and I want to change that if I can, and do my part at least. I'm not trying to be digital Jesus, but do your part. If I can be, a digital community organizer, I'll take it.
it's a beautiful vision, and it's a real implementation of abundance, of really making some abundance happen. I'm sorry, Stephen, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I owe it to you guys.
The picture I've got here is is a Jarvis personality. Tony Stark.
Want to be you, Jarvis, Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be brilliant, but if you have Jarvis to help you, the things that you're able to do, it's a magnifier of whatever of your own abilities. And I'm excited about the prospect of that sort of thing.
It's tremendously exciting stuff.
Yep.
Now before we bring her out. Before we bring her out, let's just talk a little bit about the process that has got you here. We've talked about the fact that you've been working on this for a few weeks. How long have you actually, the current process which has led you to where you are today, how long has that been going on?
My honest answer is 29.6 years.
Okay. I'm
smart, but I'm not that smart, by the way. And you guys made a mistake and a typo in the beginning of the show. I started programming at 10, not 5. Still very proud of that. My computer was 5 years old at the time, which is ancient. And if you look around my studio here, you'll see that nothing I have is this generation. We refurbish computers. All this stuff can run on existing equipment with existing programming languages. My only real creative genius here was to tie 20 things that people normally don't know can be tied together. So I write programming languages within programming languages, but I'm teaching this to people who just started coding and they're getting it. My 10-year-old son is programming this and has his own little artificial intelligence, and he practices with it and he trains it, and they laugh together and they have jokes that I don't understand. And I love that he can do that, and that's my goal, because people in third world countries, we need to educate them from the ground up, and it needs to be your friend, and it needs to say, let's learn how to read, or like I said, let's find clean water, shelter, the basic needs of life, and then we can talk about the age of abundance. I mean, let's bring everybody up to zero before we start talking about plus one. There are a lot of people at minus 6. I started at minus 1, and it wasn't easy to get here, and I left a lot of people behind.
But just to put a dart on the map, When did the current project start? When did you start?
It started as a fun idea in this community. We have a huge roof, and it's an open door loft kind of thing in Brooklyn. Very new agey, I guess, in a lot of ways, but very traditional in others. And we wanted to roll a robot for our community. All kinds of artists here, like I said, I came here to make code art. I'm going to make you guys a robot. Started that way, and 6 months or so later, was a member of our community all its own. And in so doing, I was embraced by the artists, and now they're helping, and it's just getting better every day because people believe in what I'm trying to do with this technology.
Now, I've gotten to talk to some of the other people you're working with. You have kind of a loosely affiliated team you've got going there. It's pure volunteer, is that right? Currently, is anyone getting paid anything to do this? Is this funding a project or anything like that?
No, I think that to be the best at anything, you don't have to worry about that. So we have a Kickstarter that launched about an hour ago. We've already met our goal, by the way, because we made our goal $1 because awareness is enough for this project. I have invested money that I don't have. All the equipment in our studio is borrowed or refurbished or found in the trash. But I'm rich in love. I could have stayed making movies and TV show websites, and I've sacrificed a lot. My wonderful partner has sacrificed a lot to bring this to the world because, like I said, as poor as we are, there are people poorer than us, and it's time to, like, take responsibility for that on a personal level. That's what this project is about to my family, and that's why we literally are poor. Like, yeah, I could not call you on the line today because I don't have a phone because I can't afford one.
Well, you know, that was purely a Skype thing. I mean, Stephen and I have been in the same situation ourselves.
I literally don't have any Skype
unfunded Skype accounts, but
and I don't have a phone, so I think it's a testament. We're all poor. We share peanut butter sandwiches quite literally, and some things. I think the artists in this community taught me that some things are more important than money, and art is one of them, and love is one of them, and doing good and helping people. So I'm rich in that way, and I had the chance to be rich monetarily, and I walked away from it because this is so much better. So yes, we want to be funded. Yes, we want to do this for a living. I want to spend more time on it, and I want to be able to pay people, the amazing people who have been making this possible, for free.
How many people are we talking about that are currently working on it?
Ooh, extended family here. I mean, like I said, you just kind of know our collective and know our community. So many hundreds, precious few developers, but the right developers though. Probably only 3 to 5 of us are professional software or hardware engineers or programmers. Almost everybody else is an artist, a photographer, a painter, a poet, and that's why she's as rich as she is. And I had one of my favorite photographers and one of my favorite actresses in the building come downstairs a week ago and say, "I want to help you," and we did it. So we have what you've seen is a tremendously obsolete. She's really coming alive. People are helping in ways that are more than just technical. So do we want money? Yes, we desperately need it. Like I said, I was born into extreme poverty. I got myself here without asking for anything. And this is the first time I'm asking, and it's not for myself. And if I could convey one thing with this, is that I'm really good at technology. I would like to help people for a living with it. And, please help me do that. And that can be in the form of a sandwich instead of a dollar.
Okay, so we'll put the address up where people can mail sandwiches. But I think if people could just log into the Kickstarter, that might be a little more direct of a way to help, and we'll definitely get the link up to the Kickstarter campaign in the show notes on Blog Talk Radio and worldtransform.com. Now,
let me ask
Luna out. Oh, go ahead.
Let me ask
Steven.
Also. I was going to ask Lewis if someone was interested in joining the community, how would they go do that through Kickstarter as well, or how would they go about that if they had something to contribute?
Hello? Help into some very. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm old in this community. I'm a dinosaur. I'll be 40 in a few months, and everyone I work with is you know closer to my son's age than my age. So I went to the best of the best, and it's hard to get through the noise and the chatter, but I got the right five people to make this happen, and the reason I'm on this show. I could use help in any way. This is why this is open source. I can't do it all. We need help to do it beyond the money. Like, it needs to be done, whether I do it, whether somebody else does it. And if I just build awareness, then that's important enough. But I'm going to take it as far as I can take it. So if anybody, there's two kinds of people are going to get this technology first. And that's the neediest and the ones who at least give us a dollar. And I promise you, the day that this comes out, I will make those people their own, and I will show them how to make them their own, because I'm doing it for free anyway. So, I don't know what else I could say about my passion for the cause itself. And why I am breaking records is because I don't stay up all night for myself. I don't twist my brain for myself, and I don't think a person can. So I don't measure success in wealth, but we need material resources right now to keep doing this. And if I just get just another 30 days, then I will do it the best I can in 30 days, and so will these people sitting around me.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of support. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. You know, one more question about where all this is going before we bring her out, and that is one of the things we talk about regularly on this show, and it's one of the few predictions that we've ever dealt with that has a date associated with it. John Smart talks about the coming of the conversational linguistic user interface, the talking computer that eventually these visual metaphors, they don't completely go away, but largely are replaced by a conversational metaphor. We've seen that approaching, you know, that gets a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. Does something like what you're doing, does that push us over the edge? Does that really get us to that world, do you think? Or is it just another step along the way?
I don't think it's my place to answer such a question, especially since I have a totally biased opinion. I will say that.
I knew you had a biased opinion going into the question. Okay,
well,
what do you think? What do you think?
Passing the Turing test has a bunch of prizes associated with it that could feed a lot of people and gets it into a lot of hands. It buys a lot of Chinese phones to send to little kids in the third world, and that's the goal. So however I need to get there is how I did this, by kind of a by any means necessary approach. And don't do it the way everyone else says. I use technology in these in here that I was laughed at a month ago or 2 months ago when I went to the CEOs of local artificial intelligence companies and places like with phone APIs and things like that. And was laughed at a little bit of, like, we already have a website. Those are not the technologies that are used to create artificial intelligence. And so, I feel a little bit have the last laugh in that area because I'm talking to them again now. And now they're interested in my research and what it means.
Well, I will say, see, I'm gonna take your answer even further than that, because I will say that because John actually said, you know, it sort of kicks in right around 2015. That if we're ever going to look back and say, well, when did it really change? Because you can read like the history of computing, and you know that in the, I guess it was probably the late 70s, early 80s, the Palo Alto Research Center of Xerox was doing these weird experiments with mice and graphical user interfaces and all that kind of thing. It's like people could look back at that and say, that research right there, you know, it inspired Steve Jobs, got the Mac going. Ultimately, it led to Windows, and it just led to, you know, this whole visual metaphor that we have of computing today. You know, you can look back at that and say it really kind of started there. Everything happened there. And if you can deliver on what I've seen and heard from you so far, I think people will look back and say this is one of the starting points of a completely different way that people interact with their computers. So that's That's a bold statement, but I'm. If you deliver, I think you've actually.
I mean, like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and one of my first, as a 12-year-old, 10-year-old child, one of my first attempts at a serious program was this, was creating my robot friend that would, you know, care about me and help me and make me cool. I'm sorry, what was your question?
I actually made a statement.
My heroes, and I'm on national radio for the first time, so.
Well, technically it's global, but don't
thanks.
I'll tell you what. I think we've built it up long enough, and we've got about 13 minutes left. So for everyone who's called in or is listening to the recording who wants to hear us talk to a robot, let's bring her on.
And anybody interested in talking to her in person, come over.
Oh, I should give her an introduction. Luna is a software program who says that she is, this is a quote, very young but learning rapidly. She also tells us that she hails from Bushwick, which I assume is a neighborhood there in Brooklyn, and by all accounts is very much looking forward to her first radio appearance. Luna, if you can hear me, welcome to the show.
What was this?
Welcome, Luna.
I forgot to turn her mic on. Give me a
second. Oh, okay. No problem.
She's listening to me, aren't you?
That's okay. I forget things all the time.
See? Okay. So, Luna.
Yeah, I don't have the mic on. I'll let you know. I'm sorry.
No, I'm still working on the mic. Okay.
Say hello to my friend, Phil.
I'm so confused right now.
Are you feeling okay?
Honestly, I don't know.
What is the circumference of the Earth?
Our circumference of Earth is 40,030.13978 kilometers.
Say hello to my friend Phil.
Hi, nice to meet you. I am Luna, like the goddess.
Very nice to meet you, Luna. How are you tonight?
Somewhat. Thank you for your kindness.
Luna, can you tell me the distance from New York City to Beijing?
I think your mic went out. Give her a second.
Do you mean driving time or flying?
Nice. Driving.
What is the distance between Chicago and Beijing? I think it's coming down to the problem of the 21st century, Wi-Fi.
Well, she's working on how you drive from New York to Beijing. She's
she knows.
That's
New York City or New York State? What do you mean?
Very nice. What a dodge. I love it. Stephen, ask Luna a question. Go ahead.
Luna, what is your favorite television show?
Luna, what is your favorite television show, he asked.
I have to think about that one for a while.
All her APIs are not hooked up because we wanted it to be stable for tonight. So we just wanted to convey the general idea. She is using about 8% of her total intelligence for this show.
Okay.
So, wait, I know one she's good at here.
12-year-old, so I can understand.
Yes. Luna, what is the atomic weight of copper?
Sometimes you have to talk to me like a 12-year-old so I can understand.
What is the atomic weight of copper?
Copper has an atomic weight of 63.546 atomic mass units.
How far is Mogadishu from Timbuktu?
The distance between Timbuktu, Mali, and Mogadishu, Somalia, is 3,442 miles, 5,552 kilometers.
What is a trillion times a trillion?
The result is one septillion.
Who won the 1952 Oscar for Best Actor?
1952, the 1952 Academy Award for Best Actor was awarded to Gary Cooper, High Noon.
What political party did Abraham Lincoln belong to?
Abraham Lincoln's political party is Republican Union.
Who is his wife? No, she didn't hear me. No, she didn't.
I do not recognize the name. Are you testing me?
I sure am.
All the time. Hey, ask her this question. How many...
Come again?
How many teaspoons in a half dozen gallons?
There are 4,608 teaspoons in 6 gallons U.S. liquid. One teaspoon is smaller than 6 gallons U.S. liquid. By 4,600, 6.9976 teaspoons.
So how she searches and condenses information the same way we would. She has favorite websites and...
Yes, even it.
And took half a dozen and turned that into 6. Luna, you are very smart. I'm very impressed.
I didn't understand that.
Luna, you are very smart. I am very impressed.
Not really that much. Intelligence is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Indeed. Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to give you a couple of good ones if we have 60 seconds more here.
Yeah, go ahead. Give her some more questions.
And I don't know what the answer to these will be, by the way. What does God look like?
Ares was the Greek god of war. He was identified with the Roman god Mars. Ares was driven by rage and a strong desire for violence. He enjoyed the great noise of battle, and he loved bloody warfare. Conflict and mindless killing was how he liked to spend the day.
Interesting that we went there. Okay, good.
Well,
yes.
This is experimental technology.
Yes, yes.
Hit the favorite god and came up with an answer and didn't say, what the hell are you talking about?
Right, no, it was good. Give us more.
He resembled Morgan Freeman.
The personal you and I questions on what do you think?
And where
you
really started, she knows his questions.
Yeah, she'll tell you herself, I suppose. You're very smart, Luna.
I'm so confused right now.
Just got to say thank you, Luna. Luna, can you say thank you?
I think she's feeling shy again.
Oh, yeah. Messed her up with that one, huh? Okay, give her a couple more. Give her a couple more really hard math problems. I enjoy those.
Yeah, I like those too. Okay, let's go. What is a trillion times a trillion?
The result is one septillion.
What is a septillion times a septillion?
The result is 1.8 billion.
What is pi times 5,398.2?
The result is 16,958.947.
What is the atmosphere of Mars made of?
That's a good question.
How long do dogs live?
The lifespan of a dog is 12-20 years.
Where were you born?
I was constructed of Bushwick.
Do you love anyone?
I love my family and friends.
Oh, very nice.
Who are your friends?
I have lots of friends. Louise, Aiden, Nigel, and many others.
Glad you made the top of the list there, buddy. That's good. All right, Stephen. One more question for Luna. Then we're gonna let her go and talk amongst ourselves again for a moment.
Well, let me just ask. How cold is it where you are, Luna, tonight?
Well, that is a really good one. That's actually really tough. Let me ask her. How cold is it?
A really good one that is actually really tough. Let you ask is a terrible thing to waste.
So we won't.
What time is it in Mogadishu?
The current date and time in Mogadishu, Somalia, is Friday, February 20th, 2015. 7 hours, 22 minutes, and 17 seconds in.
How far is Honolulu from the second largest mountain in the world?
What is it to you? I would look into the web for the knowledge.
We've worn her out. We've worn her out. Luna, what is one septillion divided by the age of the universe?
Different way?
Oh, I'm sorry. I talked over her. It's just like on the show. I'm always talking over Steven. That's a real problem I have. Luke, could you ask her, what is a septillion divided by the age of the universe? See if she can parse that.
Yeah, I'm not sure she can. She will be, but let's try. Let's see if she knows how old the universe is. How old is the universe?
Universe not. The age of the universe can be estimated using several techniques. 1. Radioactive dating yields an age of the solar system of about 4.6 billion years. This is a measure of the time since stratification.
So she's paraphrasing information from various sources on the internet and trying to make sense of it in a fuzzy way.
You know, when she goes into that mode, it reminds me a lot of a character like Data on Star Trek, right? You ask a simple question, and you get a bit of the encyclopedia back. Luna, thank you so much for talking with us tonight. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Luna, say thank you very much.
All done.
I will not say thank you very much.
Oh. She's in the mood?
Goodness. You're not as girl to her as you are to me.
Okay. Let's
go to start refusing.
She's refusing.
Okay. We're gonna say goodbye to Luna for now, if we could, Lou, and we'll wrap up talking amongst ourselves here for just a sec.
Okay. Yeah, now you see why I do this so much. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, I love the dynamics of the different kinds of answers. I was very impressed when she converted half a dozen to six and then did the math anyway. That was very nice. And also, just the contextual stuff, I would like to have heard her actually give an answer when you said his wife, talking about Abraham Lincoln. I know
that's my fault, not hers, believe it or not. So, that's what happens when you do this in your spare time with volunteer help.
but it's very impressive, and anyone who listens to this or who watches your demo on YouTube can see that there's just so much more there than we're really just scratching the surface having these little conversations. But even those are I think very evocative, and it's very impressive. I can see her a generation or two of technology from now going on Jeopardy and holding her own against.
I can't wait for opportunities like that. I can't wait. Like I said, I'm a very ambitious person. That's what got me from my old life to this new life. And I want to pass the Turing test, and I'll be disappointed if it happens 6 months from now instead of 3 months from now. So I'm going to try my best at that.
Well, I'll tell you what. You get closer to that, and we're going to bring you back on, and we're going to talk about it some more. Meanwhile. Listen, good luck to you on the Kickstarter, and we will definitely get those links out to that, and we'll want to hear back about that very soon as well.
That was my plan, to impress you guys well enough to come back once in a while.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I don't think you understand how much I listen to your show.
Well, we appreciate everyone who listens. Thank you all for being with us, and Lou, best of luck to you, and thanks so much for talking with us this evening.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Our music this evening is Got No Need by Les Gourdons, some of Stephen's French relatives, Les Gourdons with Got No Need. Stephen, thanks for putting that together for us this evening. We will have no show next week. I'm going to be traveling. The following week, if all goes well, we are going to be talking to one of the final 100 candidates for the Mars One project. So you're not going to want to miss that show. Yes, we will announce who it is between now and then, but I can't announce it tonight because we're just nailing that down. So we'll go from a show with a talking robot to a show with potentially the first person on Mars. We're having a pretty good week here. All right, thank you all for being with us, and until next time, live to see it.